Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the seventh month, the second day in the year 2023, and it's the fifth Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's the feast day of St. Processian and Martinian.
Pray for us.
They were two, weren't they soldiers or something? They say they were soldiers or something, I think. They were Peter and Paul when they were in the prison.
Okay.
And they converted them. Let's think about that. You know, anybody we come in contact with is a day of salvation. If they're goodwill, if they want to talk to us. Like their brothers in a pro-life rally the other day.
Yeah. Save beautiful their picture. Soul, you save your soul.
Yeah. You know, like when the time is right and God inspires you, fine. We don't go out looking for it because unless God tells you. And the only time we're going to start going out, like maybe going out and banging on doors, or is when God gives miracles. Other than that, you're wasting your time. Remember he said to the disciples, wait in the upper room. Don't do anything. Wait till I give you the power from dude on high, and miracles are going to go before you. Now God is converting people. He's sending them to us. Or they're going to go to the website, and we see somebody of goodwill, and they ask questions, we give them cards. Mm-hmm. But we're not, until God starts telling you to go out there, because really, that's one of the signs that God of evangelization. I always said that. You know, I always wondered why all these years. See, the last time you read about with Francis of Assisi and Dominic, and you had some miracles going on there, and even in the Americas when they came in to convert the Indians, and sometimes God will even give a bad Catholic a miracle, a bad Catholic priest, missionary, a miracle to convert the Indians, even though he's bad, but God wants the Indian to be converted. So, Mark 16:16, these are the signs of them that believe. They shall speak in tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them, they shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. So to me, that was one of the signs that if you don't have that happening, you're wasting your time. Don't be, like when we first came to town, and here we're banging on doors, we're going up to the bastard church up there, the Norman Soul Church, we're handing out things, and we're talking to kids in the park, and it's like you're talking to like a wall, like you go, we're not going to go, they're just looking at you like, yeah, yeah, and then you realize you're wasting your time, because it's God admires zeal, but you have to have it, you have to have your zeal regulated, because if you're overzealous and you're doing something wrong, and you don't listen to God, then you're sinning. But it's good that you have zeal at least, but there's a good zeal and bad. Now, God admired that because we were learning. It's a learning curve. But my thing was, when you started to see, like you got, I'll give you a good example. You want to look at St. Patrick, that's how God converts people. You need the miracles. And then take a look at the movie, the Black Robe. You see? The Black Robe. Now, that's sad. Because, and it's a true movie, it's a true good, bad movie, because the Jesuits, we know that now, the story about the Jesuits, how bad they are, and some weren't as bad as others, but they were the whole order because of their leader and all that, but when they came over to the Americas to convert the Indians, there was no miracles, none. They would do stuff like teach them how to write. They didn't know how to write and read, so he'd tell the Indian guy, tell me something here, and he wrote it down. He says, now give that paper to the other priest over there, and he's going to read back what you said to me. And Indian went, whoa, like it's a miracle. That's not a miracle. It's science, and the Indian had modern science. Remember they looked at the clock, the Indian, they went, what do you call it, Mr. Clock? Yeah, they thought the clock was God, because Mr. Dong, ding dong. Because it went ding dong, and they go, Mr. Clock, you know. That's the kind of stuff the Jesuits had. There was no real miracles. And you look at the guy, it's like he is abandoned. Remember when they... And God's not really doing no miracles. And he even goes, and they want to hook up with the missionary guy that's been there for many years. And he says, all these years I've made no converts. I promised a couple that if they come in, they're going to heal, that God will do something for them. But you see how utterly destitute, and you're sitting back and you're going, why didn't God give these Jesuits miracles? Because they're these pagan heathen Indians. Man, I mean, if you don't got miracles, and they didn't. Because they weren't worthy. They weren't worthy. And you look at Patrick, and you look at these, when God has his disciples going and preaching, he says, I will be with you with miracles and signs and wonders. And until that time comes, we don't try to go out there and witness to people all over the place. They got to come to us. The efforts we make is, you're wearing your sacramentals, you're out in public, we got a website, we put a sign up on our car. If they come and speak about the faith, we talk about it. Yeah. They want a card, we give them a card. My attitude is I don't want to talk to nobody. Yeah. I even avoid them. I purposely will not talk to anyone about their faith unless they bring it up first. Yeah. Other than that, I'm very nice though. Mm-hmm. You're nice to the people. They see your sacramentals. They see when they. That's why sacramentals are put. They see you and they want and they inquire about town who you are. And then we have the sign, so they know who you are. I'm always nice to people, always, unless they get nasty with me first, and then I'm going to raise it up a little bit, depending on how nasty they get. But if people see that you're nice to them and that you care about them, even as bad as they are, then they go, hey, he's not that bad. Now, but if you're real nasty and snippy, then it's like they're saying this guy don't even care about me. He's like, but so the whole thing is with that thing on when the time is right. And like I said before, even we're starting to get a few more people in here, and look how much, eventually it's going to take up all my time. But you can see, like again, I said it a million times, if God did all these miracles, and we say, Rich, if God asked me, what would be a nice miracle you would like to have? I mentioned this before. I'd like to have the Loretto Chapel. It's a beautiful chapel, because it was bought over by non-Catholics, or at least they weren't of the clergy. It's privately owned. It's not owned by the diocese, but it's where St. Joseph's miraculous staircase is. It's a museum. So they preserved it. It's not like desecrated. They preserved it. It's a beautiful little church. So I said, look, can you lift that church up in the air and fly it down over here and land it right up on Charlie's hole over here.
Yeah.
Land it on... can you imagine that?
Yeah, I know.
You'd have all your planes scrambling around it, trying to shoot it down. What is it? What's going on? Yeah. Where did it land? It landed. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. How's that for a miracle? Yeah. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. But my point is, God, if he does that, the whole world is going to pay attention to us overnight, like Pentecost Day. When the apostles went out and preached, what happened? The miracles, the tongues? Everything starts to happen. Yeah. And so I see God's our public relations manager. He let us get out there into political arena too, as a purpose to show that we care about the community, and that we do have an interest in the political arena. And because I can see for all these subjects, they stay by themselves like the Amish. They don't bother. You know, we do preach though. I mean, when people talk to us, we speak to a lot of people in town. So we've known a lot of people, and they do ask you questions, but. Now that they see we're getting more involved, this is like the first stage of God getting these people to know more about us, so that when he starts doing the miracles, then it can start perking up. Because we're definitely going to need miracles. These Protestants are so dead set in their belief that they're going to heaven, they don't want to listen to nothing. I'm saved. I come to the Lord, you know. Somebody want to make a comment there? Who's online anyway?
Brother Richard.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's funny you brought that up because I just want to start speaking to this past evening, right? And I saw a billboard, and it was in there. I was like, really? I never paid attention to it, at least. And it said, salvation is easy as ABC. And it had like the ABC, you know the blocks, the little, that 80s, children play with, you know what I mean? ABC. It said salvation is easy as ABC. I'm like, oh, wow.
Exactly.
That was it. Jamope on Fox. Remember that?
Exactly, Sal. We had another guy on Fox. The Jamope, we call him a Jamope. In New York, in Jersey. Yeah. Hey, big Jamope. Anyway, we had another. What did he say again? It was. I got it. I recorded it.
Yeah, I have it.
It was so bad.
He says,
you don't got to do anything.
I know.
Just believe me. Yeah. It was really bad. It was like Sal saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real easy, and it was bad. It's like
believe in Jesus.
You know, he says all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It's just like he came right out and said that. Doesn't that sound kind of weird to you?
No. Yeah.
It's easy, like baby blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the other point. Will was just trying to. He's still talking to a lot of people here, so he's got a lot of attention,
right.
and he's witnessing to them. So because it is about the faith issues. So one conservative Protestant black kid, he's got a Spanish name, I think.
Freddie Lopez. It's Audrey's campaign manager. Remember we met him?
Yeah,
I was talking to him because he's up and coming now in the Republican Party in New Mexico, and they had him on an interview. So I wanted to get a hold and say, hey, watch out. I didn't know if it was Pierce because the rhinos, you know, and I tell him what was going on. So I was going back and forth, and then he ended up calling me on my Facebook thing, and we were talking. Aww. Yeah, and then
okay. he didn't shave today, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he ever shaved.
I know, huh? That's good. That's nice.
Yeah.
Save my skin. But anyway, so this kid Freddie Lopez is his name, and he was this lady Audrey Trujillo's. So basically, yeah, I met him up. She had that conference up in Albuquerque. Ryan, Brother Ryan and Nick and I went up there. It was really good. It was about election integrity and stuff like that. So he's a hard conservative. Like, he knows about the machines and stuff like that. So I get these emails from the New Mexico Republican Party, and they're saying, oh, they have this broad podcast, like 20 half hour every week. This one guy, he does a thing. It's Steve Pierce. He's the head of the New Mexico. And so basically it's him, but I know what he's about, so I don't really listen to him. But then I saw the one heading on this, the recent one, oh, Freddie Lopez up in Congress. I said, well, I know that name. So I was like, okay. So I listened to it, and then I said, well, I wanted to get a hold of him. And so, because I wanted to warn him, you know, like, is this Pierce in his ear? I said, well, these guys aren't for, you know, election integrity and all that stuff. And he knows that because he was Audrey's campaign manager. So I went back, Facebook Messenger, and I was going back and forth, and then we were going back and forth, and I was telling him about what happened to me, about how I got thrown out, you know, because of Rebecca, the whole story. And, oh, man, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Then I said, well, you know what? We got to condemn these the whole LGBT movement. Then he says, well, wait a minute. Let me call you, because he wanted to talk about it. So basically I got him on the phone, or on the phone there, and we were talking, and it's the same line. You know, like, he starts off, I said, well, you know, I said, yeah, they kicked me out for because I publicly condemned this Republican leader because she didn't condemn the sexual perversity. And I said, yeah, you know, we got to go after the LGBT because it's like we're in Sodom and Gomorrah here. We got to go. And then he goes, well, he says, you know, I know I don't want them teaching to the kids, but I can't. If you're an adult home, I can't judge you. That's up to you. That's up to you and God. But that's the standard line that they all say. I said, well, no, you can't. We can't do that. This is an abomination. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God hates this. And I told him about how Romans 1:32, worthy of death. And he was listening, but they all have that line that with the homos. They said, well, their thing is, well, don't teach to the kids, but then it's up to, it's them and God, you know what I mean? But I said, we can't accept it as you know, being good or right, you know, like the whole thing, because they have rights. That's what they all get confused on. Well, they have rights now, and this, well, you can't say that as a Christian. So he was good. He was listening to me on that, and then he was talking about, I was talking about, well, are you with Steve Pierce? Because, you know, he's like, oh, no, I'm not with him. Because he talks to Audrey every day, which is good, because she's a hard conservative. And I asked her for advice, and she said to go on this guy's show. So he did, and it was good. You know, he was just talking about, he just got elected to this Santa Fe, their board up there, like I was here in Sierra County, but Santa Fe. But he's doing a lot with the referendum, these referendums and these petitions, where they're fighting these horrible laws for abortion and election integrity. And he says, like, a lot of these, because Santa Fe is, like, totally liberal, but he's saying his numbers for his meetings are, like, doubling and tripling. But a lot of people are signing these petitions, and they're Democrats. He says he looks them up after they sign these petitions. He says there's a lot of Democrats. So a lot of Democrats, they don't like this far-left stuff, which is, no. Yeah, like, my little brother Danny, he got out of the Democratic Party. There is a lot of people. And he said, he couldn't believe, like, all the people are signing this stuff. So, you know, it's good to know. You know, this isn't really a left-right issue. People are just so sick of this radical left thing. And we were making that point. I was making that point to him and stuff. So, but yeah, he's good. He's young. He's only like 22, impressionable. So I was trying to get into him saying, you know, be careful with these rhinos, because they look for him. And there's another kid, Joe Sandusky. I haven't talked to him yet, but he's like 22 too. There, and he won in his San Miguel. He got in like vice chair, like the second, like a real high position, he got in there. But I'm worried about them grooming them to make them rhinos, because they got a lot of zealous. And this other kid, Joe Sandusky, I was listening to him. He was on one of these podcasts too, and he's a traditional Catholic, or, you know, so-called. And because this Freddie was telling me, oh yeah, Joe Sandusky, he's against LGBT and against abortion. I said, well, that's good. And then he gave an interview, and he didn't really get into his faith too much, but he said he's real conservative, stuff like that. And then at the end he goes, Viva Cristo Rey. And the guy goes, yeah, que viva. The guy at the end of the podcast, the Republican guy, yeah. I said, whoa. So then right after that, I messaged him on LinkedIn. It's a business thing, and he accepted it. So I haven't talked to him yet. But yeah, it's, you know, I know these guys are young, and they have a lot of zeal, and they're impressionable. But I said, be careful with these guys, because they're going to, Steve Pierce gets a hold of him, he's going to deflate him.
And yeah. You come up later, I want to talk about the other guy, but I want to recap what you're saying there.
Yeah.
What Will's saying here, and it's interesting, this whole thing is like, it's all over the place.
It is.
It's amongst people in leadership positions and positions of authority, they're all afraid to speak against the homo. It's a lot of times because they got a homo in their own family, and they love their family members more than God. I mean, I said it before, I don't care how much I love my kid, if he turned out to be a homo and he didn't repent, I'll kill the bastard myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the Bible. It says so. It right. says the parents are the first ones to lay the hands upon their own child, and they throw the first stones on them. They stoned their kid to death. I'm sorry, you're disgusting.
Yeah.
Out of the house, either you repent or I'm going to kill you. My own kid, I would kill him. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. But what did they do? They loved their kid more than God.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about the adult homo thing.
Right.
And what we say is, the best thing is to say, wait a second, about their civil rights. Is a rape artist allowed to have civil rights?
Exactly.
Well, no, he can't. Well, how come you're judging the rape artist?
No.
Well, why? It's the same thing with the homo.
Right.
And if you say that the homosexual adult is normal and it's okay, then why not teach it to kids?
Yeah.
You got no ground to stand on. You could have two moms and two dads if it's normal. You can't. You have no right then to say stop grooming our kids because it's normal. You have to teach the kid. It all flows in line. But my point is on the homo thing alone, you can be conservative on every other issue, which a lot of these people are, but they're all defending the adult homo.
Yeah.
And what I say to these people is, guess what? That one crime alone destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So you could be good on all these things, better than the Democrats, but you're destroying the country at the same pace.
Right.
You're both destroying the country. Both of you are destroying the country. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have a Democrat get in who's not a hypocrite and take the country down even quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrat will take away our religious liberty, the conservative Republican will allow us to preach at least, although they don't agree with us, but they allow us religious liberty. But here's my point. I was talking to Brother Will the other day. And this is going to come onto how we're going to start voting in these next elections. We got to start rethinking things. And here's my point, what I'm saying, all of that. So let's say you got Trump. He's a big homo supporter, right? He's got a lot of good stuff too, though. But they all, you're not going to find any candidate that's going to come out and tell you homos are bad. So let's say you got Trump, he's good on religious liberty, he's really good with the judges he put in, so he did a lot of good stuff, but on the one homo issue alone, which I told him, you're never going to make America great by supporting homos, that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So you're destroying this country by supporting homos. Number two, they'll say, and our position was, and it was true, he gave us religious liberty, and they allow us to preach, and he put the Supreme Court justice on, fine. But here's my point. They're getting so bold with the homo thing, I don't even know if we can support them anymore. And here's what I'm trying to say. You go, well, Richard, if the Democrats get in, it's going to go down real quick. They're going to close down religious liberty. They're going to start locking you up, and they will. But my point is, good! Good! I want it. Bring it on. You know why I say bring it on? You conservative Republicans that are afraid to speak against the homos, I want the Democrats to come to power, to take away your religious liberty, because you don't deserve it. Because I know God will give us religious liberty. God's going to be the one who's going to keep us standing. So see how you got to think deep on issues?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rethinking. When Trump did the Mar-a-Lago thing, I said, I got to start rethinking it. He's shoving it in our face. There's a point where you can shove something in somebody's face on the homo thing a little bit too much, like Rebecca Dow and Crystal Diamond and Yvette Hurl, and I'm done with them.
Yeah.
I'm done. Now, I'm never going to vote for the Democrat, but I ain't going to vote for them, never. You say, well, Richard, if you vote for them, they're going to give you religious liberty. You're not going to go to jail. They're not going to force it in your school. I don't care. I don't care. Because what their support of the homos is still going to take us down. And here's the point. I don't want them to have religious liberty now. And let the Democrats come to power and punish them. Because when the Democrats come to full power and take away Trump, Dow, Diamond, and all these so-called conservative Protestants, they take away their religious liberty and lock them up and take them out, then what are you going to do? And you know what I'm going to say? You deserve it. You deserve it. You know, you didn't stand up for Will when he stood up against homos and you went against Will, so now they're going to come after you next. And then next, and then next, and then next. And this whole month was so full of the homo shit, this whole June, the people are sick of it. Your average person's really sick of it. There's a big thing happening here. Even on Real American Voice, it was the guy Lance Wall now. He did say something good on this the other day. He says, there's something. He said, I don't know about this LGBT thing has gotten out of hand. The whole thing's bad. He says, you notice how they go out and they're very proactive. They go out and they demonstrate. They go out in the public. They bring to court. He says, but all the pastors, they condemn it on Facebook, and they don't even do that. They might say something on Facebook or on a tweet or on an email, but they don't ever get out there and oppose it like Will did.
Yeah.
And like we did in the homo parade.
Right.
He says, if you don't get out there in the public arena and shout them down and face them down, they won.
Yeah.
It's over. They won. You can talk about it in your church all you want. Oh, homo is a sin, but we can't do anything about it, like Joanna Teague said with Will.
Yeah.
She knows it's a sin, but she says, I can't say it to anybody. I can't judge anybody. I can't condemn anybody. So you get at this break point where, you know, they're all a bunch of cowards. And they don't want to go out and resist it in the public arena. And they don't want to preach against it. So and all your pastors in this year, there's no one. We got some people support. Well, I don't want to put their names public now, but he's got quite a few of some pretty powerful people are supporting him. Mm-hmm. And more people are supporting, but they're still a little bit afraid to come out and maybe publicly say anything. But my point is this. All your so-called conservatives that think homos are okay, mm-hmm. and are afraid to say it's okay to be an adult homo, I'm at the point now, after what Trump did at Mar-a-Lago, I don't want to vote for you now. I want the Democrats to come to power and totally corrupt this whole Satanism, Luciferianism, lesbians on TV, come into your church, pull you out of the pews, close down your Bibles, get you out. I want that to happen to you. Because you're not standing up now. You don't deserve to be defended. But guess what? We're the ones who are going to be standing because God will defend us.
But mention that guy, that kid from Lexit, Hogan, with Jesse Hogan.
Is that the one about the...
So just to like back up what Richard was saying, I was watching, they had a conference up here, up in Albuquerque a couple weeks ago, and it was these people that are promoting this referendum, which is a real good thing. You know, they're making an active effort to try and overthrow these laws. And they had one kid on there, his name was Jesse Holgram, and he's from Lexit. Lexit is like the Latino, I think it's for short for like Latino exit. What they are is they're Latinos that were Democrats. They were born Democrat, and they were Democrat, and they just, all this woke stuff, they said, this is crazy, this is nuts. So they left the Democratic Party. So now they're Republicans, and so they voted for Trump and this and that. And so now what they're saying, this kid, he just got into the party. He's like a new Republican, but he's really good. He made a great point. He says, you know, they tell us, oh, these rhinos. He says, first of all, why aren't these Republicans running on this sexual perversity for kids? I mean, they would. It's hands down, they would win automatically if they ran on that issue, like you're perverting kids. They don't lead with that when they campaign, these Republican candidates. He says, this is crazy.
He doesn't even talk about it. He said it's given
to them on a platter, and they don't even say nothing. He said, this is crazy.
Because they want to appease the Democrats.
Exactly. So then he says, well, then they come after me and they say, well, oh, then you get these rhino candidates that, you know, that are not even hard conservative. And they say, you still got to vote for the rhino because, you know, the Democrats can. He said, why am I going to vote for the rhino? They're the same thing as the Democrats, just like Richard said. Why am I going to vote? It's crazy. It's the same thing. He said, I didn't come here to be a Republican to be a Democrat again. You know what I mean? But he just nailed it because he just spoke so clearly and so bluntly. It was like, they can win these races hands down by stressing this, and they deliberately do not touch it for that reason. They don't, because they don't want to offend.
He was also against the homos, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. They were out in that. Well, I don't know if they knew about that, but that riot with the Armenians, they had a thing in.
And
he
was.
He said he was actually there. They just said the Armenian people, like at this, there's a big.
You know, the guy Walnut brought up. He said Armenians, Muslims, Spanish Catholics.
Yeah.
Spanish. Hispanic Catholics were going nuts over it.
Yeah.
Over this whole sexual perversion of kids and all that. And he says, isn't that interesting? That's what he was talking about proactive.
Uh-huh.
He says, see, these people were
because
proactive.
Because the Dodgers said all the Mexican,
right.
Spanish.
That's right. And he said, where's the pastors?
Yeah.
Where's everyone else? And he said, if you tried to bring this into a Muslim community with the sexual stuff, they're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
But all you got, look in the town here. You're the only one. Everybody, they stood up only because you did and they were weak. And now they're going against you.
Yeah.
So it's embarrassing that these other people are keeping their mouths shut and they're afraid to speak about it.
Exactly.
And so this guy did, go ahead.
It was great. I mean, he was up there and just laying out the line, and the guy made total perfect, and he's like a street kid, not that, you know, not like real intelligent guy, but he's like common sense, like truth, like was coming out of this kid. He's like, yeah, and then they're giving me a hard time for voting for these rhinos. He says, why am I going to vote for these rhinos? It's the same thing as a Democrat. I said, I'm not voting for any of them then. And he said, like Richard's saying, let the Democrat get in. Because he's hardcore. Like, they want to go after. And him and his buddy Ben Luna, he's good too. They're Lexit. They're like new in the faith. Like, when people, new converts, they're real zealous. Well,
and they're
like,
leaving the left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're leaving the left. They want to. They're hungry for true conservatism. You know.
And here's the sad part about, but you can't blame them about the miracle you told. They always try to convert them to the Catholic Church.
Right.
Okay.
So Ben Luna,
Ben Luna?
Yes, Ben Luna. But they're the same. Yeah.
Okay. So tell what happened to Ben Luna.
Okay. So Ben Luna, he was a guy we saw him when I went after Rebecca at the meeting. actually, it was God's will, because he was there, and this guy Larry Marker was there, who's the head of this referendum thing, and they're from Otero, but they're very conservative guys. And I don't know if I told you this, but this guy Larry Marker, when I was going to ask my question to Rebecca, they're trying to like ignore I was there, you know, like Rebecca gave her talk, she ended, she was like hugging Julie, who's the head of the party, but they were, and I was saying, Rebecca, and I was sitting down, but they were ignoring, they willfully ignoring me, because they didn't want me to ask my question. So the one guy, Larry, goes, here, stand up. So I did, I stand up, and then I asked him, but, you know, he shook my hand after that. So that's Larry Marker, he's the head guy, but then this guy, Ben Luna, was with him too, and he's real zealous too about the referendum. He's going out, getting people to sign and stuff like that. And so I talked to him, Ryan had talked to him, and sent him some information, just because he's like, yeah, we need to go out there like you guys are doing and confront these people. I respect what you guys were doing. And so then later on, a little bit, a couple weeks later, I got a hold of Ben because I wanted to send him what was going on with me getting kicked out. And so we had a little correspondence and stuff back and forth. And he wants to run for Senate, U.S. Senator. And I said, oh, really? I said, did you tell Steve Pierce? Because he's the head of the party. He's like, no, I'm not going to. I'm just going to announce it, and then they're going to know. I said, well, good. You know what I mean? Because don't let them know, because they'll try to talk. Because he's a hard conservative. He's against, you know, abortion in all cases. And then I asked him about this whole thing of, like, you know, they don't condemn the LGBT movement. He said, oh, no, it's an abomination to God. He went all the way on that.
He did.
So then
all homos.
Yeah. He said, all homos, you can't have it at all. I said, oh, this kid's good. So then I said, well, maybe I'll try and see. Well, I started witnessing the faith to him a little bit. So we're going back and forth, and he sends me this thing, this guy, he's one of these Americanists. He's a Protestant pastor, but our Pinto exposed him in that founding of the fathers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I forget his name though, but he's real popular with these Americanist Protestants and the Christian country. We got to read the Bible. We didn't know what it was. Now we finally got to read the Bible after the printing press, and now we know what God's word is and this and that. So he was sending me this thing, and it was because you understand like where they're coming from, but you know obviously it's totally false. So then I said, well, like we have four arguments that we ask Protestants. Okay, are you infallible? Then if not, then how do you know what you're believing is true? You know, can you give me second one? Is
yeah, and you said why should I listen to you?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly, right. Why yeah, should I listen yeah. to you? Give me names and dates. Like we have an unbroken line of people that believe in the same thing. You know, is the Holy Spirit God? Then how can he contradict himself when people read the Bible? So I hit him with our four major arguments. And what was the other one too? Who created the Bible? Who gave us the Bible? The Catholic Church, the New Testament. They decided which. So God was with them. Used it as a medium. And so he's looked at. It, he said. Then he comes back. He says, well, you know. He says, I was at a thing once, and there was 300 of us there, and we saw a dead man come back to life. He said, that's it. He said, I know the power of God. I know the power of God. So then when I was trying to hit him with these arguments, he just kept going, I got you. He says, then I read him with another email with like saying like Deuteronomy 13, 1-3, you know, if a prophet.
Signs and wonders. Yeah.
False signs and wonders.
Comes to pass.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so then I tried to send him Richard's false signs and wonders, faith before signs and wonders. He goes, I got your email. He says, all I know is I saw a dead man raised, like 300 people were there. He said, that's it. I know this is God. You know, so I'm like, okay, well, that's yeah. it. So we're going to have a bigger miracle then.
Well, that's the point. We're going to talk about that right there.
Yeah.
But interesting, just back onto the, we'll ask them all the questions. Really good. Yeah. And when he answered back, he tried to say, well, he says, we got the Bible from Tyndale. The church was hiding the Bible, and Tyndale came along, and he copied it. I said, yeah, but Tyndale copied it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Where did he get it from? Yeah. I mean, did Christ appear to Tyndale and give it to him?
I know.
Even, that's okay, so they were hiding the Bible, I agree, yeah. And we should have been reading it, but still, where did Tyndale get the canon from? How did he know that this one's okay and that one's not okay? Did it drop out of heaven on his lap? Well, you're admitting that if Tyndale is the first one that got it, then Tyndale's messed up.
Yeah.
It had to be from the beginning of Christ, and that's the Catholic Church.
And technically, early in the church, they weren't hiding it because they're teaching people.
The church fathers. Yeah. They love the Bible.
Yeah.
They're quoting the Old, the New Testament. I mean, everyone's reading it. Hey, Paul's telling you to read it. Yeah. It's the Renaissance church, which they're right. They did hide the Bible.
Yeah.
It's true. I agree. But that doesn't mean that's the Renaissance church, okay? And their sin was hiding the Bible.
Yeah.
But where did the Bible come from?
Yeah, right.
The first 1,000 years, first 1,200 years. Where did the canon come from? Yeah. It didn't come from Tyndale.
Yeah.
Tyndale had to get it from somewhere. So he breaks into the Vatican, and he gets the copy, and then he starts translating it. Of course, then they start translating to the whole thing. But here's the point I wanted to get on all that. You see what he said about the miracles? And the devil is working big time. It's an operation of error with these Protestants where they're getting all these miracles. And once they see something like that, unless we get counter miracles,
You're never going to get them. Forget about it. They are so stuck. Oh, he healed my mother. See what he did to my... I was there when the pastor healed him. And, you know, that's the operation of error of Christ. Because you would not believe the truth when it was preached to you, I'm going to give you the operation error to believe lying. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11.
Yeah.
I think it says Antichrist is coming to the court, working of Satan, and all power and lying signs and wonder, and all seduction of iniquity to them that do not accept the truth.
Yeah.
And because you would not accept the truth, I will send you an operation of error to believe lying. So, here's the other part. So, when that starts happening, and you're talking to, so that's the one aspect, too. Now, it's bad alone if the Protestant says, I'm saved alone by believing in Jesus. Now, you can't even, that guy don't want to hear nothing. Now, but he does hear. We'll, here's another, we can't despair.
Right.
Because faith still comes by hearing, and you still preach to him.
Right.
It's going around in his head. But it's without a miracle, we're not going to hardly get these people. And then they get these miracles, the demonic miracles in their churches. It's all over.
Yeah.
And here's the other point. Here's the other point. Their whole life, they never knew Catholicism, neither did we. What do they know about Catholicism? The bastards in the Vatican II Church?
Yeah.
Are they going to go there? Their conservative Protestant church is way better than the Vatican II Church. So they're going, if that's the Catholic Church, then that is the whore of Babylon. Jews can be saved without believing in Jesus. Homos are okay. Pedophilia, covering it up. They're looking at all this stuff going on. They're saying this, if they, and then they think the whole Catholic Church is evil. So we're working against this whole thing, and so what we need for sure is miracles. Or you never get. But right now we're planting seeds. But without God's miracles, most of these people we're not even going to get them. They're so sad, and you can't blame a lot of them for going into those evangelical, conservative, Protestant religions as opposed to the Vatican II Church. The Vatican II Church is the worst place to be. They're the worst people in the whole world. Like they're the most mushiest, non-judgmental, compared to a conservative Protestant. And they're no good neither. But you see how the devil's even deceiving them with these signs. You know, we could tell them, okay, we raised somebody from the dead too. And our God told us your God is false. And your God says our God church is false. Two raisings from the dead. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, they raise people from the dead. They have uncorrupted bodies. But this is the operation of error. And I think of that too, how... Because if you are reading your Bible all this time and you see the things about faith and deeds and you're ignoring all of that, then God says, "Girl, I'm going to just deceive you," because they are so confident in their salvation. And we're talking about with Matthew, even us Catholics, we're confident. You always got to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Doesn't mean you can't know you're in a state of grace. Sometimes God lets you know that, and he gives you the confidence to feel that way. But you always know you can fall away tomorrow or next week. So you're always watching. Am I staying right? And if you really are staying right and you're pleasing to God, and you can know that, God sometimes could even tell you, if you do fall away, God's going to let you know. If you're doing the right thing every day, he's going to give you that feeling inside, I did something wrong. This is really bad. And then God will punish you, and then you can turn back to him again. But this thing about faith alone, I mean, if everything else is out the window. All I got to do is believe in Jesus. That's why they can't. A lot of them can't condemn homos.
I know, exactly.
Because a homo who goes to their church is saved.
Yeah.
No matter how bad he is.
Exactly.
Even the adulterer.
Yeah.
And the rape artist. Yeah. Think about that. It's disgusting. I mean, they're pretty disgusting too, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're up against so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might have a better chance.
Let the cleansing begin.
What's that? Go ahead.
Let the cleansing begin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think like a lot of these people, they're not even going to convert. They're going to be dead. God's going to kill them. Because take a look at this, too. I think, like, if you're an Orthodox Jew and you believe there's a heaven and a hell in your Jewish religion, your false apostate Judaism, or a Viking, a pagan Viking, and you got heaven and hell. If I do this, I'm going to hell. They're not confident like these Protestants are. Even a pagan Viking would know that he can go to hell. Or even a pagan Roman. They had Elysium was heaven, and hell was Hades. And they knew that if you got to have a certain code, and there's some justice in their God, even if it's a false God. But the Protestant is worse than them. Think about it. Worse than them, because there's only heaven. All you got to do is believe. There's a hell, but they're not going there. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. You don't got to do anything. I mean, that's got to be one of the worst religions in the whole world.
Yeah.
There's probably other ones that might be close to it about universal salvation, but that's bad. And that's what we're up against. And unless God starts doing miracles for us, and I'm talking about the first kind of miracle I want, and I said it many times, is killing people. God's going to put the fear of God in the people. They're going to fear us. They're going to say their God is the all-powerful God. He's kicking the crap out of all of us.
Yeah.
First, you got to make them fearful of us, and then do miracles to heal and cure them too, to show that there's the other side. But once they start seeing that, then they're going to have to line up, because there's going to be two people doing major killings, Antichrist and us. Then you got to take sides. Take a look at the Antichrist and what he believes in.
Yeah.
If you're a homo and a transgender and an adulterer and an alcoholic and a drug addict, you're going to take the side of the Antichrist. If you're somebody who loves your family members more than God, you want them all in heaven, you're going to take the side of the Antichrist. If you're a good world person, wants to live in a truly good community of wholesomeness and law and order and all that, you're going to be with us. But right now, even when you speak to a guy like that, sometimes you don't realize how it makes an impact. Because you're the only one that's preaching to them in their whole life about the salvation dogma. You understand how important the salvation dogma is? A lot of the people here, too, it's not just Will's testifying against the homo thing. It's because of the salvation dogma. And didn't somebody tell you something? They said it's the Catholic thing. Oh, the one guy says, oh, he's, who wrote, and they says, oh, he says you got to be a Catholic to be saved. Somebody got angry at you, and they said, they're writing you a letter, and they said, yeah, and he thinks, Neil said that, too.
Neil said that, your boss. Yeah, yeah.
But it shows you, when you tell these people, then they get, because now they had the ecumenical crap from Vatican II, we're all Christians, we're all good and all that. Now, when you come back on preaching salvation dogma, now we see we're not the same.
Yeah.
It's not so cozy. You know, now they're angry. It was gonna, watch One Man's Hero. It's like how the Catholics were prejudiced against. Well, we're going to go back to that. And I say, fine, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what we want. How else can you convert these people if you don't tell them that the Protestant religion is false and they're going to hell? No one's saying that. They're all like this ecumenical crap. All these traditionalists, even, you know. The salvation dogma is like the pinnacle dogma of everything. It separates everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, like, even if people that agree with don't like them, that salvation dogma, but they're hearing it, though.
Yeah.
You see, they're hearing it, and... You know, it's weird, but I go on my, I check every now and then. We get about 250 people every day going to my site. And a lot of people are not telling how to, you got to believe in the Catholic Jesus to be saved. What is the Bible, things you need to be saved according to the Bible. So people are downloading that. They are looking.
Yeah.
They are going. So there, in other words, we can't despair and think that no one's going to listen at all. And here's the other point. Even if no one did listen at all, what do I care? Yeah. And it's sad. But what do I care? I care about me and then all of us that are with us. That's what I care about. And I want my own soul. And if they want to come in, fine. If they don't, let them all go to hell. But we know that there are going to be conversions. It's my point. Not to despair trying to convert them. Go ahead.
You can't make somebody believe. Is that your fault immediately when that guy doesn't believe?
Exactly. God's grace already has to
be... the truth and to go to the truth?
You know, I like that statement in the Augustine movie where Ambrose says to St. Augustine, he says something, if we can ever know the truth. And he says, no, St. Augustine. He says, you don't find the truth. You have to let the truth find you.
Yeah, right.
You have to open your heart so God can come into your heart, and God's going to preach it to you.
I know this man. I will look into his case.
General Bartone, I'm grateful for your intervention. Forgive me for disturbing you.
Empress Mother. Emperor.
And since you're here, Bishop Ambrose, I would like to introduce you to Aurelius Augustine, the court orator.
I've heard much about you.
And I about you. I heard you are a follower of Mani.
That's right.
So, I have here a Manichaean, two Arians, a traditional pagan, and a follower of Mithra. It makes you wonder where the truth lies.
Or if a man can ever find it.
No, Augustine. No. Man doesn't find the truth. Man must let the truth find him.
But, so, preaching to these people still does count. And you plant some seeds when you have openings. And in this case, because he's talking to people that are interested in this topic. But even at the pro-life Dublin rally they went to yesterday, which is, those pictures are really nice. You got a group of people that have at least some type of an interest in the abortion thing. So they were handing out a lot of cards. Mm-hmm. And if God wanted somebody in that pro-abortion rally to get a card, they got the card from one of the brothers and inquirers that were there the other day. They got the card. And then they can go home, and then they can look at it. But what I said here, though, because we're up against such a thing because of this nominal Catholic Church is such a scandal, that's why I think a conservative Protestant has more hope to convert on his deathbed by a miraculous conversion than a nominal Catholic in that particular Vatican II church, the pedophilia and all that. If you're a true conservative on a lot of issues, God will say, you were right about a lot of things. You messed up on some good big things too, but I understand there's a big scandal there. I'm going to convert you on your deathbed. I'm going to bring you into the church before you die and go to your particular judgment. So there might be more hope for them to convert on their deathbed but than a nominal Catholic. Because they, I mean, really... No, Catholics are the worst. They're oblivious. It's
they are.
They're the worst. But the whole homo thing is
yeah, it is.
And when that guy Lance Wallnau came out, he said, unless we start getting out in the street and protesting actively in their face, at like these women, there's another group where women are angry, and it's a good group, a woman group that stands up against the perversion of their children in school, and they have a whole group, and Trump went there, DeSantis went there, and they're real angry about what's going on in the curriculum, the sexual perversion that's being taught to kids, and what's that group, the Southern Poverty League, they put them on the hate list, terrorists, and they're hateful. And they're terrorists. They put them on a terrorist list.
Domestic terrorists.
Yeah, because they're showing up at school board meetings and they're yelling at the people.
Yeah, Kennedy on his town hall, a guy got on there because apparently he got an invitation to go to that group.
Yeah.
He turned it down and the guy was trying to say, you went to the group. And he said, no, I didn't go to the group. No, I support homos. I can't, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
yeah.
But they all do.
Moms,
and that's why they're afraid. If that's why we break it down, we're not condemn publicly the sexual perversion of children. Because then it would say, well, if you're saying that that's sexual perversion, mom and mom, dad and dad, then you're saying homosexuality is evil. And she'll say, I'm not saying that. Well, then you're saying it's not perversion. Well, no, it's not perversion. Well, if it's not perversion, then we can teach it to the children. They know politically. All sit back and weigh these things out. Even though she knows that's wrong, but that's a logical conclusion of you supporting homos. If you say homos are normal.
Another reason they don't say it, Ryan and I were talking last night, how America, the heresy of Americanism is everybody has the right to...
They all say that. Yes. Everybody has the right to get up and say what they want. And you can shoot that down so easy because they still will tell you, does everyone have the right to go out and rape their neighbor's wife? Or steal, go into their neighbor's house and take all his possessions? No, they don't have a... Why don't they have a right to do that? You just said, we're living in a democracy and everyone... Well, that's where democracy leads to. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has a right to do it. That's it's garbage. It doesn't work. It's false. It's heretical. And it's not even real anyway because there's always somebody in power. They make you think you have the power, but you really don't. Yeah.
You hear these Republicans, like, it's weird because they'll go after the transgenders, but the gays go, how are you going to do? How are you going to play that card? Because it's LGBT.
Transgender is a logical endpoint of if a guy...
I know.
Is a homo, he's like a girl. He doesn't want to, he's acting like a girl because he's a homo. So then why not become a girl?
I know.
I mean, why not? That's the logical, you know, I mean, that's the full blown, that's the end result of the homo thing.
How can you consider
that? A girl that's a lesbian, she's a butch, she wants to be a man. So now she becomes a man. It's all connected.
It is.
But that's why that log cabin Republican, Rick and Ellie's bastards, these filthy homos, that sneak in there and they pretend to be clean. But the homos are getting nervous even because they were talking on one guy's show and they're going, well, I don't agree with the grooming and all that. And I think that's bad and all that. But one guy said, if you don't agree, he says, you're a homo. If you don't groom these kids, where are you going to get more homos to do the homo thing with? You've got to have homos, right? And one guy said the homos can't have kids, so they've got to groom your kids.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
But the whole, but there's, I see there's something happening. This month, really, people are tired. It was all in your face. They're sick of it. There's a big movement upon your average person and pushing against this thing. And so there's a good shift because of what we're doing.
Yeah.
The grace you earned and we earned by what we just did recently is creating a counter movement.
Yeah, the Texas
people. In Texas, too, and all that. So I guess this was my lecture for today, which I wasn't going to do a lecture. So I did a lecture. Any comments from anybody?
Yeah.
But this is, God's going to, I'll tell you one thing, though. God is always doing this. Just think about this. Well, Moses was up against the Red Sea, right? Pharaoh's bearing down on him. It's over, right? God opens the Red Sea. Bango, he goes right through. Right? Patrick, when he goes to Ireland. Moses, when he goes into Pharaoh. But when God always does things against the odds, when it seems totally impossible, everything is lost, there's no hope, and then God strikes. And my point is, when God starts to do his miracles for us, all these years, 1,000 years that the devil's been unchained and prepared for all of this, a lot of it's going to be undone, and the curse is going to come, and plus God's grace is going to work in the people that are of goodwill, and you watch how many people we're going to get coming in here. It's like Pentecost Day times a million. You will get a lot of people coming in. Most of them are going to go out the back door, yes, but you're going to get a lot coming in and staying in. And it's going to happen. But you're going to need that. Because right now, we sit back and go, there's no way. I mean, you can't even get their attention. You know, and like even Nathaniel Kapner, he thought at first we were with the church in Rome, the apostate church. And he says, I'm not going to join no pedophile church. That church is full of pedophiles. And he's in the Russian church. United States Russian Orthodox Church, unorthodox church, and we said, no, we're not with that church. The guy's a bum.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him. He's a bum. Well, then you can get the guy to listen to you.
Right.
Think about if you didn't say that.
Yeah.
If we don't say what we see in the cards, don't follow that false church, and then you're trying to convert a Nathaniel Kapner, and he tells you about all the crap that they're doing in Rome, you go, well, it's still God's holy Catholic church. We're all sinners, and we all need the grace of God. The Pope's still infallible, even though he's bad. He's still the Pope. He's the Holy Father. Come on. Come on. What good will a person is ever going to go into that church?
You know what I say every once in a while? Just out of the blue, I'll get this thought. If they forced me to have to be in that church, I wouldn't want to believe in God at all. I wouldn't have anything to do with any of it.
No, and that's why...
I'd be justified.
Oh, wow, that would be torture. Could you imagine if somehow God just let the devil pick you up and drop you in the middle of one of their church things on the Lord's Day? Like right now, perpetual, and we had to sit there in the pew and listen to the little fag?
Yeah. I won't even watch them on
I TV. Saw throwing rotten tomatoes at him. I'd shoot spitballs, and then maybe I'll do
the ass kicking begin.
What's that?
Let the ass kicking begin.
And it's going to begin with you. You know, and you're in the middle of all these people, starry-eyed, freaky people. You know what's amazing? When they look at us, it's the way it was when I was out there preaching, and then they know about you and how you are. When you walk in a room, it's like, it's a separation. It's like they look at you and you look at them and it's like it's like repulsion. Automatic repulsion.
What do you expect? You put me in the room of Joey's
eyes. What do you expect me to do? You expect me to kiss the guy? You want me to hug him? You know what he said to you, Uncle Mike? You know what the priest said? You know what they said? You expect me to go to room with them and be civil? I would head for the door as fast as possible.
You know, Brother Richard, you're so right. They need the fear of God because all of them ignore that verse in Romans that says those that are like LGBT are worthy of death.
Death.
And those that are
consent to them that do them. And they haven't seen God do that yet. So they don't believe that. Their God's a mushy God. Their God is a mushy God. He reigns from hell below.
Yeah.
Although Satan's not mushy. Yeah, he's not mushy neither. But even like, I know firsthand experience about that from the Norma Soto Church. Don't ever talk about the fear of God. They said that was the Old Testament God. Not God. Let's say, but not dealing with that bold, but that's what they implied. That was in the Old Testament. Now we have the love of God.
Yeah.
We no longer fear God. Now, my favorite verse was Luke 1:50. This is our Blessed Mother speaking. His mercy is from generation to generation unto them that fear him. That's Mary talking, our Holy Mother Mary. Luke, I always used to, that was my favorite one. There's a lot, too, in there, but even in the New Testament, because your big thing is you're not supposed to fear God in the New Covenant era. Jesus brought love. So what do you mean, the God in the Old Testament was not a God of love? He's the same God. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't change his passions. He didn't love people back then. He just loves them now. It's the goofiest, craziest stuff that we're up against. You got the liberal Epicureans on the left. You got the Stoics on the right, and they both stink. I like what Matteo said. I don't think he's online today. He might be working, but he said left wing, right wing, chicken wing. I don't care what.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the road. Remember Proverbs 4:26-27. Make straight the path to thy feet, and decline not to the right hand nor to the left hand, and all thy ways shall be established. Right wing, left hand. Oh, he is online. I like that. He said right wing, left wing, chicken wing. I'd rather have a chicken wing. Yeah. At least you can eat it, you know. Yeah. Give you some sustenance. Stoic, Epicurean. I still say the Stoics are the most dangerous to good-willed people because they're outward type of kind of piety. They're ruse of holiness. But they end up into most, in themselves even, totally immoral stuff and
well, look what happened to them. They didn't fear God, and so they don't have the beginning of wisdom. They don't have wisdom.
That's right. Correct.
Isn't that what they're throwing
away? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and that's another favorite one that I memorized, but now I forgot the actual verse. It's Ecclesiasticus.
Pardon me, Richard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would the Diamond Brothers be that example?
Oh, definitely. Diamond Brothers, they don't, you know why? They don't care about the truth. They're charismatic-y. They are very charismatic, and if they feared God, truly did, they fear for their own soul, and they would admit when they're wrong, get rid of their pride, abjure from their past heresies, and hold the truth. And why don't they do it? Because they don't really fear God. They don't really fear going to hell. It's almost like they're so confident sitting up on that mountain thinking they're saved, in spite of all the evidence we show them, and it proves it, because after you tell them and show them where they're wrong, they don't answer you. It's the typical non-answer. You just don't get an answer. They just don't answer. You can ask them, look, forget these other, I asked you one question. Answer it, like we on the Epikaya. Yeah. You know? Well, is it a divine disciplinary law during the Old Testament era that you're not allowed to eat pork? You know? And now you can eat pork. And we were going over Epikaya rules and all that. The other thing we said about pulling the ox out of the pit. You know, David, when he ate the showbread. And I said, you know, when God made that law, he says only the high priest can eat the showbread. Only the priest. Anyone other than a priest eats the showbread, he dies. So David, when he was starving, he was hungry, and his men had no food, the high priest gave him the showbread. And then what happened, Jesus, the Pharisee said, you're healing on the Lord's Day. You're not allowed to work on the Lord's Day. And he said, who doesn't pull an ox out of a pit on the Lord's Day? So when God made the rule, no work on the Lord's Day, he didn't say unless an ox is in a pit or unless you need something in an emergency, you're having a heart attack, you got to go to the hospital. He didn't say all of that. All he said, don't work on the Lord's Day. It's common sense, what we call Epikaya. Exceptions to disciplinary laws. You use your common sense. And that's why Christ said, don't you remember when David ate the showbread, which it was forbidden for him to eat, but yet God blessed him and he wasn't cursed because of it? Even though he's breaking the letter of the law, because the spirit of law admits to Epikaya. So I would tell him, because when he wrote the law, he didn't say, I'm doing it, he says, only the high priest shall eat the showbread, except David, when he comes along 500 years from now, and he's hungry and he eats the showbread. David's off the hook. He didn't say that. So, okay, here's my whole point. I asked that question to Patrick Henry. I asked that question to the Cabrini woman. I asked that question to Father Regragi. All these guys that deny Epikaya, exceptions to the law, I asked them at least 10 different times in writing and never got an answer. They would always talk about something else and change the topic. Then I would bring it back to it again and say, you didn't answer my question, like the Hummel thing, about David and the showbread. Patrick Henry, that was a divine disciplinary law from God, but David ate it, and he was off the hook. He didn't sin. I've never got an answer. Diamonds do that. When you're a liar, inveterate liar. You don't fear God. You don't love the truth. You only care about your own reputation because you don't want to think you were ever wrong. It's so full of pride. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's Proverbs 1:7, TJ said, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
There's another one, too. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It was created with the faithful in the womb. It's Ecclesiastes 1:14 or something. There's another one. That's one, too. Yeah. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It was created with the faithful in the womb. So there's another one. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Psalm 110:10, too, says
that. Oh, you what's that? Go ahead.
The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And the beginning of...
I don't know what it says after that.
What they say, too... The fear of God is the beginning of His love.
Yeah.
You fear Him first, then you love Him. Mm-hmm. And I always said, because God showed me His power. I know God's power. And when you know God, if you know the real God, you fear Him and no one else. No one. No devil, no damn human. I saw how God delivered me. I see God's power. I go to God. He's the only one I fear. I says, if you don't fear God, then you don't know Him. Your God is a mushy teddy bear. He's some type of a weakling. If you really know God, the true God, you fear Him and then you love Him because of His greatness, because of all the great things that God has done, does, and enforces. And you run to Him alone for your protection. And if you, because it's only, that's why a lot of people are going to the devil. Think about it. If you got this mushy God, He don't do nothing anyway. So they're running over to the devil and he shows up and starts kicking some butts in this Luciferian community, and they go to him. And God's been hiding His power all these years. He's playing possum. I say God's playing possum. Why is He playing possum? Because you're not worthy. He's not. He's hid Himself from the world. That's the Amos curse. What's that all about? Yeah. Amos 8, 11. Chapter 11, I will send a famine upon the earth, not for a bread or a water, but hearing the word of God. People shall go from sea to sea, from north to east, and they shall go about seeking the word of God, and they shall not find it. And in Proverbs 1:28, they shall call upon me, and I will not hear them. They shall rise in the morning and shall not find me, because I'm hiding from them. And He's allowing the devil to manifest himself in all these different ways to the world, because they're worthy of it. Anybody who's of good will, I always say this takes three things, really. Humility, first love of the truth, humility, and you can't be a coward. And I go over that in my, just the Holy Spirit's a really important thing. Because you can love the truth, but if you don't have humility, when you make a mistake, you don't want to admit it, so then you're going to deny the truth because you don't have humility. You're going to say, Richard, you know, you were wrong about that. I was wrong. I'm never wrong. So now you hold on to the hurts. So you don't, because you don't have humility. Humility allows you to accept when you're wrong and then embrace the truth. Number two. So let's say you got humility and you love the truth, but you're a coward. If you're a coward, you're going to deny the truth because you're worried about losing your life, your family members. Those three things.
So, Matthew says, I always think that the God of the Vatican II Church and his saints are presented like Disney characters.
Exactly. A bunch of Disney characters. You're right. Like, who's those goofy dwarfs? Goofy dwarfs? They are presented like that. He's right. Absolutely right. Like the superheroes or something. And it's all social works, too. A lot of stuff. It's wow, and you know it's amazing the people that make. I mean, they're making people saints like crazy. They got this guy. I go to EWTN every now and then to listen to what's going on. But this guy, look who this. I don't know what is this young kid. J.P. Tudor. This guy's like, you know. There, you have one priest that's kind of conservative, but he thinks J.P. Tudor is a saint.
I always think of Jethro, what he said to Moses. Yeah, I've heard of your God, but he hasn't been heard of for a long time.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, Sister Mary Lou brought up, when you watch the movie Moses, and he says, what God spoke to you? And he goes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He goes, well, I've heard of God's, I've had two mothers, one the God of Israel and one the Pharaoh. And is the God of Israel the true God? And then he says, well, I haven't heard of his power for a long time.
Yeah.
And when you do hear of his power, it's through a false miracle with these Protestants in the Vatican II Church. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio.
Yeah.
Padre Pio. It's like, that's another thing that Brian Diamond brought up. They're smoking too much Padre Pio. That's what Bruno brought up to last week. I think he's smoking too much Padre Pio. They got their mirror. It's all mushy stuff, though.
Yeah.
You know? I said, the way we talk is so great because it's the way you're supposed to talk. You know what I mean? It's normal. Mm-hmm. the way I talk is really normal. When I grew up, it was always normal. I grew up in the city, so we didn't have anything to worry about. We weren't like in the suburbs, and we didn't have to put on airs, you know? But can you imagine, like, just play one of my lectures to one of these people in Orosoto Church with their starry eyes. Bring these bastards over here, and I'm going to kick the shit out of them. I'm going to cut their head off and put it on a pike. That's it for them.
Yeah.
They say, oh, that guy's a maniac. Bye-bye. I use that as my meter. Yeah. I do. Because you know what? I know people. The way I spoke, you look at, even though he's not 100% right, on the guy, Ted Nugent and all that, and Trump even, you know, and the way these people, that's a regular manly person, and women are to be manly too. They like the way I talk. That's why they like Trump even, because he wasn't so politically correct. That normal people really do like that, because they like courage. They don't like wimpiness. So that's how I separate the wimps. And most of the people, they'll just play one clip for me. One guy got angry because I called people a bastard. Mm-hmm. He said bastard! So I quoted Hebrews 12:6 and 12:8. If you be with chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. Mm-hmm. There's about five other verses where God calls people bastards. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, and dumb, shit is dumb. So, but my point is, they're so brainwashed with this mushy mentality that will prevent them from studying and reading the faith and embracing it, because the faith is not just something that's about mercy, it's about justice. It's about God's power. It's about God's punishments. And that's what they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear it.
That's what the people do today. They justify their sin, just like when you say...
That's right, because they don't want to be punished.
They make excuses
for their own sin.
Work with iniquity.
And if you call them bastard, or you say you're going to cut their head off, how dare you? Because they want to go on sinning.
That's how they
stay
with their family members.
They want to go on sinning. Now, an inner city kid or someone who's used to fight, they a normal person, though. It doesn't have to be. It's weird, though, but a lot of these people that rise up in high society became so mushy. Some of your street kids are still kind of tough. But it's now, years ago, if you were a homo in school, you get your ass beat. Now they call it bullying. A homo deserves to get bullied. If a kid's in a school and he tells you he's a homo, bullied, he should be killed. They should beat him silly every day. He walks in the front door and send his ass home. That's what should happen. But now what do you got? It's a mushy world. It's a mushy world. But the other people out there, and they're out there, they like to. That's how we separate. I'm talking like normal people. Read the church fathers. They're hard when they talk about heretics and heresies. And sins of immorality. They come down like a sledgehammer. Everyone wants to run around and do whatever they want, and they don't want to be punished. That is, you know, and think about the Protestant thing, even where you just faith alone. Like I was reading with Joshua, Deuteronomy 2:34, 35. I slew all the inhabitants of them, Shion, the king of the Amorites, killing all of them. We left none of them, men, women, and children. Joshua.
Interesting.
Thing. Moses too killed children, mm-hmm. infants. Can you imagine seeing that on TV?
A little different. I was reading David this morning, you know, and he kills Goliath because God is with him, because he knows that he killed a bear and he killed a lion himself.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't really kill them without God's help.
But
he was brave enough to do it. And I like what he said to Goliath when he was about to kill him. You know, I don't remember the exact words. You probably look it up. But he's basically saying, you're not coming in here and messing with our religion, with our God.
You're going to see the power of our God.
That's it.
Yeah. Our God is the true God, the God of Israel, and I'm going to kill you in his name, and by his power. And that he was made manifest to Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, that when God is with you, who can be against you?
Right.
There's another thing, David and Goliath.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine him watching David go, I bet they don't even look at him. I can't watch this. Poor David, he's going to tear him to pieces. And the one guy's peeking out of one eye, and the other guy's going like this. I don't want to see David get ripped up. And one guy's going like this. And the other guy goes, wow, you got to look at this. What? He won! He killed the guy! Oh, I wish I was looking. I should have been looking. people that watch sports stuff and your team's getting beaten up and you think they can never win, so you leave their room and you come back and they
cut
run.
Off his head and bring him back in a bag.
Lopped his head right off.
Yeah. And all of his, and the new part was all the Philistines took off and now the Israelites go after him
and they get victory.
Yeah.
But that whole infernal wimpiness, the two biggest crimes that allowed all this to happen is non-judgmentalism and non-punishmentalism. And that's what democracy brings with it. Think about it. Democracy is, I can't judge or condemn anybody. Everyone has an equal right to do whatever they want. But they're hypocrites too, because they do judge certain things. I said, ultimately they judge us, and in judging me, you judged. Yes. You went against your dogma that you can't judge anybody. They judged Will.
That's right.
They judged him and threw him out without any law even.
Against the law. Because he had the rights to say.
We're living in a crazy world. Did you ever think like almost the whole world would think all homos are okay? I mean, we're not even talking about like one area. We're talking about the Western world, not Russia, not China, not the Muslim countries. We're talking about Western Europe, England, Ireland, United States, South America, Canada. That's what we're talking about. I mean,
I saw a little hit job on Russia. Belarus president, I'm trying to remember his name. But anyway, and the hit job, they're trying to act like, oh, it's not really safe, but they're saying, oh, it's super cheap over there to live, and there's no crime and all this stuff, and they're sounding like idiots, you know, and like, yeah, look what happens when you get the Western, you know, crime.
They hate, there. You know what they hate, these people? They hate rulers, monarchy.
Yeah.
They hate dictators.
Yeah.
God's a dictator. Yeah. Call him a dictator, call him a monarch. Yeah. They hate it. They hate anybody. You could, it comes right out of their mouth when they start talking about monarchs and dictators.
Yeah.
It don't matter who you are. Every dictator to them is a tyrant.
No.
Yeah.
I said, but guess what? You're being dictated to under democracies. Yeah. There's no such thing as a democracy. No. Who's dictating to you? No. First of all, Satan. Yeah. Second of all, the Talmudic Jews and the Freemasons.
Yeah.
And there's one guy on the head of that whole thing on earth, even before Antichrist comes to power, all this, that dictates. Yeah. So you're taking your dictate. You're getting dictated to. You just don't know it.
That's stupid people. They're all getting all a crybaby because they're taking those punk rock type people and they're locking them up. You know.
Yeah.
I say, well, that's why you have safe streets.
That's right. He's strict. Yeah. Well, when they come, and Cruz starts complaining because Uganda's got the death penalty problem.
Yeah.
And Cruz went nuts on that.
Yeah.
How just brutal. And when one pastor, who's the pastor of Ruth DeSantis, came out and said, well, you're condemning God then because he killed homos. Read the Bible.
Yeah.
God says they get the death penalty. Yeah. So you're condemning God. He made like he said, it's tyrannical, it's evil. That's how you stop it when you kill people. Take a young kid who's a homo or who wants to be a transgender and he's your kid and he doesn't convert. You give him some time to convert. You work on him for a month or two. He doesn't listen. You say, I'm gonna be the first one on the front line to kill you. You know what you do with that young 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid? You take him out in public and you burn him in front of all the other kids. In front of all the other kids. And you tell them, this is what happens when you do the homo thing.
Sure.
This is what happens when you think a boy could be a girl. Light them on fire. Go ahead. Light the match and light them on fire. And if you don't do that, there is no example. And that is like, bango!
Yeah.
So if the kid even tries to think about it, he puts it right out of his mind. And the devil has no entry. Mm-hmm. He can't get into that kid. Because the kid's more afraid of what he saw than the devil. Mm-hmm. Tempting him to do this thing. Yeah. I mean, I think of Heli, the high priest. Mm-hmm. Now, in his case, he judged his sons, but he didn't punish them.
Yeah.
He did judge his kids, but he never punished them. Non-punishmentalism.
Yeah.
What good is it to judge somebody and then find them guilty, but you don't punish them? Mm-hmm. And it's 1 Kings 15:23 or something like that. And it says, I will judge his house forever for iniquity, because he knew that his sons did wickedly, but he did not chastise them. If you read the thing, he condemned them. He told them. They were fornicating with women in the temple. They were stealing the tithe money for priests. They're doing bad stuff. And he condemned them. He said, stop doing this. This is no good. But he never did anything. He did not chastise them. He did not punish them. If you don't back it up with punishment, it's like you're saying, it's really okay. Your words are empty.
No.
Okay, so anyway. Again, I did a sermon. Go ahead.
In relation to those nominals that think there's an Old Testament God different to the New Testament one, and then verses on King David, that Jesus is glorifying King David, and of course all that, everything that goes along with that, you know, the dashing the babies against the rocks and everything else.
That's right. And that's what made David great, because he stood up for the Lord. I mean, he's the figure of David, Christ. Even in the New Testament, we have death penalty verses and God killing people. Read the book of the Apocalypse. I mean, they got to be crazy. Everybody wants to commit sin and do what they want and get away with it. I still say this democracy thing is the worst. And the Protestant, they do say it. They're the start of democracy. Yeah. Because once you have no leader in the church, they want no leader in government. You have a better chance converting a pagan Viking, a pagan Roman, a Muslim, an Orthodox Jew who believes in a heaven and a hell, and that his people can go to hell if they don't do something. They got to do something. It's not like a freebie. And they obey a singular ruler, and they believe in killing people and penalties and punishing. Easier to convert them. These other people, it's like they're so spoiled, I don't know if you can ever get them. But you see how much... At least they have those basics. And these other people, they're so mushy and faggy and effeminate. And that's what the Bible said in one of the verses, that most of these people are going to just die from a heart attack when they start seeing this stuff happening. They're going to be so afraid, they're going to die from a heart attack. They're going to pee their pants. They're going to die from a heart attack. They're going to be so scared.
They're so spoiled, they eradicated the concept of hell.
Yeah, even hell. That's what I mean. Yeah. If they're going to, and you're not even allowed to punish, spank a kid anymore. Yeah. Corporal punishment is out the window. You don't spank a kid, you got a spoiled brat your whole life. That's the end of it. What do you do with a horse, a wild horse? How do you tame him? You got to crack him a couple shots. All right, so I think that's it. If we don't end it now, we'll go into the announcements and match prayers.